You know, one of my favorite movies from the 1980s was Raiders of the Lost Ark. Do you remember that movie? Where Indiana Jones goes and he tries to rescue the Lost Ark of the Covenant because the Nazi Germanys want it for their power. And so they end up in this one entire area where they're actually going to open up the Ark of the Covenant. And Indiana Jones says, don't look, because this is a bad thing. You don't want the Ark of Covenant to be opened, and it's going to destroy people. And sure enough, they open the Ark of the Covenant, and out comes the Angel of Death, and everybody dies except for Indiana Jones and his girlfriend or whatever. And because the Ark of the Covenant had this Angel of Death in it, and it went and killed everybody. And the reason why I like this movie, I mean, aside from the fact that it's a really exciting movie and I really enjoy it, is it's like one of the first times that I can remember that Hollywood actually got it right. Because would you really want the Ark of the Covenant if you could find it? And if you were to open up the Ark of the Covenant, would you like what you see inside of it? And would it be a good thing that could help you conquer the world, or would it be a bad thing that would destroy you? That is a question that we're going to talk about today, because as we look at God's temple and as we look at the design of the God's temple and we look what God had placed in the temple, it was the Ark of the Covenant. And we're going to just take a few moments this morning to look at that, because the Ark of the Covenant is a very important piece that was in the temple, and it was actually something that was prescribed by God. You'll remember that the people of Israel came across the Red Sea. They were rescued out of slavery in Egypt by Moses, and then Moses went up to the mountain and he got the two tablets of the Ten Commandments in them. And then as soon as he did that, they came down in the mountain, he told the Ten Commandments to the people, but then God said in Exodus 35, I need you to build a place to put the Ten Commandments. I need you to build an Ark of the Covenant. And so God prescribed very exact what it was supposed to look like. It was a box that was supposed to be made out of siddim wood, some of the finest wood that was in that area. It was about 3.5 feet by 2.25 feet by 2.25 feet, and it was gold plated. It had gold rings at each of the corners of it, and in the gold rings they slid these rods so that they could carry it around. On top were these two winged creatures. And this was prescribed by God. And so the people of Israel built this ark, and they put inside of it the Ten Commandments. They put Aaron's rod. They put holy manna, the manna that came down from heaven that they ate that sustained them while they were in the wilderness area. And they took this Ark of the Covenant everywhere they went. And as they would go by the day, there would be a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, and they knew that God's presence was with them. And then they came to the Promised Land. And you'll remember from this last sermon series that they come to the Promised Land, they cross over to the Promised Land with the Ark of the Covenant, and it was the Ark of the Covenant that they had with them that the priests carried that went around Jericho 7 times, and it destroyed Jericho. Yes, the Ark of the Covenant was a very powerful thing. It was the presence of God. And then they came through the period of the judges, and then they came to the kings, and King David was wanting to build a temple for the ark, a place where God could dwell. And so he assembled all of the wood and everything that was necessary to build the assembly, this temple for God. But God said, David, you have blood on your hands, and you cannot build this temple. And so he gave the job of finally constructing the temple to his son, Solomon. And Solomon did build the temple, and it was in the temple where they placed the Ark of the Covenant. And that temple was there for a very long time until it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and then it was rebuilt again under Cyrus, and that temple existed at the time of Jesus. What was that temple? That temple was a place where God dwelled. In the outside perimeter, you had the court of Gentiles, where people could come in and be a part of that court, even if you were not Jewish by nature. But then there was another court, an inner court, that was a court of holies, or it was a court for the priests. And then you had the holy place, which was another area that was inside that courtyard. And then outside of that, it was a very small area, about 20 cubits by 20 cubits, was the Holy of Holies, the Kadosh HaKodeshim. The place where they put God's Ark of the Covenant, the place where God dwelled. Now, folks, this was a very, very sacred place for the Israelites. an extremely sacred place. As a matter of fact, only the priest could go into the holy place, but only the chief high priest could go in the holy of holy places, and it was only one time of the year, and it was only if he had a blood sacrifice, and it was for the forgiveness of sins for all people. Because if you didn't go in there with your blood sacrifice, you would be killed by God, almost like the Ark of the Covenant killed the Germans in that movie. It was a very holy place where God lived. And you needed to have a blood sacrifice to even get in the Holy of Holies, and it was only done once a year. But the blood sacrifice and the Ark of the Covenant represented two kind of dichotomies that exist in the temple. Because the Ark of the Covenant represents God's power and God's law that was in the Ark of the Covenant and how we fail God's law. And yet, the holy sacrifice, the blood sacrifice, represented God's providence of grace, of forgiveness of our sins. And both of those existed in the Holy of Holies. Would you want the Ark of the Covenant? Think about it. On the one hand, it is the power of God. But on the other hand, it's the power of God. A very, very powerful power of God. Folks, I think this world needs that power of God. I think we need it in a desperate place, but we are sinful human beings. We can't even get close to the power of God. He wants so desperately to be with his people, and yet he is a holy God, and we are sinful people. We cannot come into the holy of holy places without a blood sacrifice. And yet, I so wish that the power of God was completely in this world, destroying all the evil, but then I think, he might destroy me too. Yesterday, I had a really bad day. Do you ever have a really bad day? I had a bad day yesterday. I woke up in the morning, and by the time I got around to checking my email, which I do, I opened it up, and I had over 10,000 emails on my computer. And they were all said, mailed not deliverable. And it was bouncing back from a server. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Pages and pages and pages of the same email, not deliverable. And I did some research and found out that somebody had put the return address of my email address on a blanket email that was submitted to probably 10 million people across the world. So when those people don't exist, all those emails bounce back into my mailbox. It'd be as if somebody had sent 10 million letters out to people's addresses advertising something, and they put a return address, David Hook, and all of a sudden my email or my mailbox out at the curb gets filled with thousands and thousands of letters. I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't page through the 10,000 emails. So I had to basically shut down my email account. So if you sent me an email yesterday, I didn't get it. I mean, I got it, but I didn't really get it. And I can remember being so frustrated and wishing that I had the power of God to go into the internet and to destroy the person that was doing this to me. That's what I felt like doing. I wish I had the Ark of the Covenant that I could cover my eyes and open it up and the power of God goes and destroys that person because they sinned against me. But then I kind of came to my senses and I said, you know, if the Ark of the Covenant were opened up and it was going to kill all the people who had sinned against God, there's a high probability, better than 50-50 chance, that it would come back and kill me, all right? Because the power of God is just that. It is the power of God. It is the power to destroy, but it is also the power to forgive. And that power existed in the temple. But that temple also represents something else that you may not know about. Because that temple represents the place where God exists in purity and in holiness. The place where God exists that you cannot go into unless you have a blood sacrifice because you are an unholy and unclean person. But there was a time when there was a place, a holy of holies, where man could go and to be and commune with God, and that is in the book of Genesis. When God created man, he created a holy of holies. And it is in that place where man lived in the presence of God. The Bible says that he would walk with God in the cool of the day. And God did not destroy man. God was there to be with man. God was there to hold his hand and show him a beautiful creation. But then we sinned. We ate from the tree of good, of knowledge of good and evil, and we were expelled from the Holy of Holies. And if you go to Genesis 3, verse 18, you find a very, very interesting thing. God places at the gate of our Holy of Holies, at the Garden of Eden, the swords that were flaming swords that would prevent anybody from going in that Holy of Holies ever again, so that no person living ever would be able to go into the presence of God because they were unclean again. And yet, folks, we need to get in the presence of God. We need to get back into that place. But there's burning swords that are preventing us from getting there. What we need is a perfect blood sacrifice to be able to break through those burning swords and to open up the way again so that we can go back into the Holy of Holies. And that happened in the person of Jesus Christ. Because if you go to the book of Revelation, you have this great, incredible view that John paints of what heaven's going to be like and what is seated at the throne, but a lamb that was slain, a lamb that was brought as a perfect sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, a lamb that was killed by those flaming swords, but then broke them and opened up the gateway so that you and I could go into the Holy of Holies. My friends, because of that perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, someday we will live what is represented by the Holy of Holies. We will live in the presence of God once again. And we won't need a blood sacrifice. That was taken care of by Jesus Christ. He has made us holy so that we can stand in the Holy of Holies and be with God forever. Folks, that is a great thing. That is a great picture of the future. That is a great picture of not the earth as it is today, but as the earth as it will be at the end of time, where there will be no email bounce backs coming into our email box, and there will be no evil people sending us emails bouncing back into our... It'll be God and us together forever. Indiana Jones found the ark. Where is the ark today? Does anybody know? No, we don't know where the ark is. Been a lot of stories. After the Second Temple was destroyed, there are stories it may have gone into Elephantine. It may have gone to Europe and stay in Spain. Maybe it's somewhere in Spain. A lot of people say that they know where it is. They've done a lot of research on it. But nobody really knows where the Ark of the Covenant is. But if you opened up the Ark of the Covenant, what would you find? You'd find God's law, the manna, and the rods. But the Ark of the Covenant that sat in the temple is no longer the representation of God on this earth. Because when Jesus Christ came and he died on Good Friday, what happened to the curtain of the temple? It was torn too. And by that act, that meant that God's presence that had been in the Holy of Holies was now with Jesus Christ and now with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That power that exists in the Ark of the Covenant exists in us. That's where the Ark of the Covenant is today. It exists in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the redemption of Jesus Christ. And that is a great thing. That is a great thing. Because when we have to cut bananas in life, God is there helping us cut those bananas. In Jesus' name, amen. My life before you.